Next week, Rich and Mary will be with us. They're our own evangelists out of our church. Of course, Rich will be here playing the piano. Isn't that wonderful? I even had a piano player scheduled for today. Brother Bierman's wife plays piano, but they're not here. But Rich and Mary will be here next week. He'll be speaking all day on Sunday next week. And then the last Sunday of the month, we'll have the Gomez family. You'll enjoy them. They were here last year for a pastor's meeting we had, and they were a real blessing. And so Brother Gomez will be with us at the end of the month. And so we're hoping and praying for a great, as we are about halfway through our missions month. We do this every year, for those of you that are new. Every single year in September, we spend the whole month on missions, the month of September on missions in some way, shape, or form, either having missionaries in or me speaking on missions or something. So tonight, I've got some letters I want to read to you, very important. You should try to be here tonight for the message at 6 o'clock, and we'll just kind of continue on. Genesis chapter 6, I want to bring a message entitled, The Mission Calls of the Bible. Mission Calls of the Bible. What are some of the missions? I only got four written down. There's probably hundreds of them throughout the Bible. We could spend all day here on this, but I've just got four of them written down. And some of the important, you know, the big ones. I'm not saying the other ones aren't important, but some of the big mission calls of the Bible. We meet up with a gentleman by the name of Noah. We find him in the previous chapter, chapter 5. We are going to see what his task was. We all know, if you've been in church any amount of time, you pretty much know what Noah was famous for. What was Noah famous for? The ark. Building the ark. It took him 120 years, but he got it done. So this, when we look at the mission of Noah, he had a mission. He was on a mission. God gave him a mission call, and that was to rescue the world. Let me just read a few verses. If you can stand with me for the reading of the word, do that, please. If you can't, that's fine. You sit right there. But if you can stand, we're just going to read a few verses here. And Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, for his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and every creeping thing that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Father, bless the message this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the different mission calls that we see in the Bible. I do pray that you bless this time that we have together, meet the spiritual needs and the desires of everybody that's here. Father, again, if there's somebody that's not saved here or listening outside of these walls today, we pray for their salvation. We pray that the Holy Spirit would bring strong conviction upon that person or persons of their need to be saved. Lord, bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we all know the story of Noah and the ark and the flood. We believe that this flood of Noah was a worldwide flood, not just a part of the locality there, but it was a worldwide flood. God covered the entire surface of the earth with the waters that he had come upon the earth, and every human died except Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. And the call of missions, you would look at this and say, what kind of a call was this? Well, it was a call to rescue the world. Throughout this chapter 6, you see how bad things were during the time of Noah. We look at what's going on around us, and we watch the news, and we say, wow, how bad things are. And we say amen to that, right? I mean, things are getting worse and worse. The violence, the corruption, the destruction, the way even this country is being seen as a divided country. It's getting close. The stuff going on in Rochester, sad things going on in Rochester. It seems to be drawing closer to us. And it could come to an area around you, the violence and the destruction. But there's never been a time that it was so bad during this time. This time was the worst. This time, this got God's attention so much that he had to step in and do something. Or else I believe Noah's life, his wife's life, his son's life, and their wives' lives were in danger. God had to do something to stop the craziness that man was attempting to do. And man wasn't just attempting, man was doing that. Verse 5 of chapter 6, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and their every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, we think it's bad now. This is a Sunday school picnic compared to what it was during the days of Noah. This is nothing. Now, I do believe that when it gets so bad, God's going to step in again. And that's what I believe, that we're going to be raptured out of here, and the tribulation period will take effect, and God will do what he has to do during the tribulation period. We will be gone. We will be saved, just like Noah and his family was saved prior to the destruction. But again, we see that it was terrible during that time. The sin was rampant. It was just getting, and things were getting worse. Things weren't getting any better. But however, in the midst of all of the wickedness, all of the stuff that was going on, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a man that said, everybody else is doing it, but I'm not going to do it. Amen. Everybody else around me is acting like a nut and a fool and getting involved in all kinds of wickedness, but I'm not going to do it. Noah, the Bible says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What do you and I do during this turmoil that we see going on around us? The only thing that we can do is walk with God. All we can do is just, Lord, I'm going to follow you. No matter what happens to me, no matter what happens in this world, I'm going to follow you. No matter if the election doesn't go the way that we would like it to go this November 3rd, we're still going to walk with God, right? Amen. We're going to walk with God. We're going to talk with God. We're going to be in fellowship with God. We're going to do what God wants us to do. No matter what happens, there's a mission call here for God to rescue the world. Amen. And he used Noah, and he had Noah do the work. God could have just magically, miraculously just made the ark appear. But he made his man of God, this man of God, Noah, go out there and do the work. And he and got his kids involved, and the wives were involved. And I think there was other people involved that didn't even get on the ark. But God had them get out there, do the work, get prepared, get ready, because judgment day is coming. We need to be doing the same thing. We've got a job to do. You and I have tracks to pass out. The track rack, thank God, last week. You know the track rack was half empty last week? That was a blessing. To go by there and say, whoa, we got to restock this thing. That, we need to restock that every week. We need to be passing out gospel tracts. We need to be inviting people to church. We need to be inviting people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be doing everything that we can to rescue the world. Amen. There's a world to be rescued. There's a world to be saved. And God uses sinful men like you and I and ladies like you. I almost said you and I. God uses people like us to reach a lost and dying world. Amen. Noah had an amazing job ahead of him. It didn't take just overnight. It took him about 120 years or so to build this ark, to get it prepared to rescue the world. It was a time of working. It was a time of dedication. It was a time of faithfulness. Noah's never seen rain before. The earth never saw rain before. And the Lord is telling Noah, I'm going to have all this rain. It's going to cover the earth. And Noah did everything by faith. Amen. Everything. God just helped Noah along the way. This is a great, great mission call that God used Noah for, to rescue the world. Secondly, go over to Genesis 12, and we could spend a lot of time on each of these, but I don't want to spend a lot of time. I've got one that I really want to spend a little bit more time on, so I'm going to kind of zoom ahead here. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the second one. First one was Noah, was a call to rescue the world. Secondly, we see Abraham, or Abram in this passage of Scripture, was called as a missionary to bless the world. In Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. How in the world could all the families of the entire world be blessed by one man? Jesus Christ came through this one man. Jesus Christ came through this one group of people. Abraham is the start, as we would say, of the Hebrews, of the Jewish nation. God handpicked Abraham to be the one to leave his country, the Ur of the Chaldees, and come over to this land of Israel that God had already handpicked for that place. Like it or not, God handpicked the leader. God handpicked the place. God chose that, and God used Abraham to be called as a missionary to leave his home to bless the entire world. The history of the Jewish people is without a parallel in human history.
That's right.
You cannot compare any other group with the Jewish nation of Israel. Though oppressed, downtrodden, carried captive to other lands and scattered throughout the world, the Jew has outlived all his conquerors and walks intact amid all of the nations. Any other race or peoples would have been swallowed up. And its identity and national characteristics would have been lost if it was anybody else. But the preservation of the Jewish people is the miracle of history. The miracle of history. God preserved a nation, a group of people. No nation has ever had such manifest and visible proofs of the very existence of God Almighty. The parting of the Red Sea, the Jordan River being parted so they could walk across, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, sheltered and guided by the pillar of fire and a cloud during the wilderness journey, the giving of the law, the walls of Jericho falling down, the sun and the moon staying their course so Joshua and Israel could have the victory, the angel of the Lord encamped about them and slew 185,000 of the Syrian army. No nation has given to the world such great men as the faith of Abraham. The leadership and lawgiver of Moses, the statesman as Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon, such a king as David or a wise man as Solomon. No other nation has ever given people like this.
Amen.
No nation has produced such prophets as Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Nahum, Habakkuk, Malachi, name them all, even Jonah. Amen. And no such man as that man above all men, the man from Galilee, Jesus Christ. God has preserved that great nation because he is not finished with them yet. Yes, we believe that God has just set aside the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, until the fullness of the Gentiles become. And that is soon, we believe. And then God is going to restore the nation of Israel again, specifically during the tribulation period. But he's already bringing back Jews from all over the world to the nation of Israel. The Jewish people were raised up to proclaim that there is but one God, not a bunch of gods. This is the only nation that was brought about to share with the world the one true God, not a multitude of all kinds of other gods, and not even Allah. Amen. The Jewish people were raised up to proclaim that there is but one God. Through the Jewish people came the oracles of God. Where do you think we got this blessed book from?
Amen.
From the Jewish people, primarily. And through the Jewish people came a Savior to the world. His name is Jesus Christ. A Jew. A Jew. We could go on and on and on. And so Abraham was called to bless the world. And when nations turn to the God of this Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to bless that nation. Hence, I believe with all my heart that America has been blessed down through the years. Because we were founded on the principles of the Word of God. We were founded on faith in Jesus Christ. Not every founding father was like that. We understand that. But primarily our Constitution, our Bill of Rights were based upon the Almighty God and the Word of God. And God has blessed us down through the years because we have sent out I don't know how many thousands of missionaries. This is still a major missions capital of the entire world. God blesses missions.
Amen.
And he uses America to send missionaries out from this country to the far reaches of the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And our friendship with Israel down through the years, God has blessed that. Because that's what he promised in Genesis chapter 12. As long as we're friends with Israel, God will continue to bless America.
Amen.
But we better get our act together because we are falling into the same category of Genesis chapter 6 where we are corrupt, we are wicked. This nation is getting worse and worse. People are turning their backs more and more and more away from God. And we're going to continually, as we drift further and further away from the law of God and the things of God, the nation will get worse and worse, as we know. Thirdly, the third call that we see, and again, I'm going to zoom over to the New Testament. Oops. The third missions call that we see is, I believe, the greatest missions call of all. Go to John chapter 3, and you know the verse, 16. John 3:16. Jesus Christ, a call to save the world. A call to save the world. Jesus Christ, some people believe that maybe Paul was the greatest missionary ever. I believe that Paul was a great missionary. But the greatest missionary ever, ever, that this planet has seen has been the Lord Jesus Christ. He is unparalleled. There has been nobody like him. Christ was a missionary. He left heaven to come to this world, to be born in a manger of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to be rejected by his own nation and his own people, and to die on the cross for you and I. When Christ left this planet, went back to heaven, his mission didn't end. But he is there in heaven for us. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's our blesser. He's the one that listens to us. He is everything for us. He is preparing in his mission in heaven, preparing us a place, preparing us a home. And so the mission of Jesus Christ to come to this world, to save the world, Christ, I believe, knew before the earth was even created that he would have to come and do this. He knew before the foundation of the earth that his mission was to leave heaven, the glories of heaven, the fellowship with his Father. He still had it here on earth, but it wasn't the same as he had in heaven. To leave the Holy Spirit that was there in heaven and to come to this planet and walk like you and I walked. To be like you and I, except without sin. To go through the same trials and tribulations and temptations that you and I have ever been through in our life. He's gone through multiple times more temptations than you've ever had. And trials and tribulations that you and I have ever had. He has been through all of them so he would know how we would feel. He had to become a man so he could die for man. He had to shed his blood. He had to die on the cross. Not just die, but he had to die and shed all of his blood for every single one of us. Jesus Christ had an amazing call from God the Father in heaven to go and to be the missionary that he needed to be to save the entire planet, humanity. We all know John 3:16, don't we? If I can find it, I'd be doing good. There it is. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. How much did God really love us? Well, it says there, so loved the world. That little word so is, you can't explain it. God loves us beyond what you and I even understand of what love is all about. We do not understand how much God really loves us. But it does say, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say God loved the world. It so loved the world. I see there the measure of love. How much love did God have for you and I? And then the second thing of that verse is that he gave his only begotten son. Well, if God so loved the world, there was no other way that he could save the world except through his son, Jesus Christ. And so the mission of love is that he gave his only begotten son. God the Father somehow, somewhere, way back in eternity past said, son, you're going to have to go and die for those sinful people down there on planet Earth that we're going to create. Christ was involved in the creation. Christ was involved with what happened with Noah. Christ was involved with everything that we see in the Bible. And in every instance, he realized that he had to come eventually and die for the entire world. He had to die for you and me. Amen. Why was that? Because you and I are sinners. Amen. We were sinners in dire need of salvation. No human being on planet Earth can save themselves. You can't be good enough, you can't pay enough, you can't be baptized enough, you can't do anything enough to save yourself. You must trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's the measure of love, is for God so loved the world. The mission of love is that he gave his only begotten son. Thirdly, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's the magnitude of this love. The magnitude of the love is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish. What a negative word with a negative meaning. It means hell. That's what it means. It means death and hell. It means separation from God for all eternity. That's what the word perish means. It's a sad word. God forbid that anybody should perish and end up in hell for all eternity or the lake of fire eventually. God forbid that that should happen. And nobody, not one person ever, has to do that. Nobody has to go to hell. Nobody has to die without Jesus Christ. He's died for the entire world. He died for the worst. He died for the best. He died for everybody in between. The magnitude of this love is just incredible. And then I like the last four words, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that everlasting life. I'm looking forward to my home in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. That's coming one of these days. We're going to be moving into our new home. We've got a brand new address. Whatever address you had here on planet Earth, that's going to be gone, and we're going to be moving into our home in heaven. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you glad. That ought to make you joyful. That ought to make you say, praise God. That ought to make you say, amen, that you've got a place in the future that you're going to be able to spend all eternity. And it's not hell. It's not the lake of fire. See, Jesus Christ, his mission was to come and to literally save the world. And he will save anybody that wants to be saved. But that's the key, wants to be saved. People don't want to be saved. They want to go through life, say, well, I think I can do it. I think I can make it. I think I can. I'm good enough. I attend church once in a while. I even give a little bit once in a while. And I take care of my neighbor, and I take care of this one. And I help little old ladies cross the street, and I help little old men do whatever they got to do. And I mow so-and-so's lawn, and I think I'm just good enough. No, you're never good enough. You can't be good enough without the goodness of God. Only the goodness of God makes you good enough. Only Christ can make you good enough. We're not good enough without Jesus Christ. And so we see that here in this passage of Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the amazing mission of Jesus Christ. The greatest missionary that ever walked on planet Earth was Jesus Christ. I've often said he didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loves you and cares about you and cares about your soul. And he does want you to spend eternity with him in heaven. He wants that. He craves that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to die without Christ, without him. Look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. His mission was not just to come and heal the blind and the sick and the lame and raise the dead. That was not just his mission. His mission was not just to come and be a good prophet, as so many believe that's all he was just a good prophet. He was a really good man. His mission was not just to come and just help the Jewish people. His mission was not to come and eradicate and get rid of the Roman Empire. His mission was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. That was his purpose. That was what he was born in Bethlehem to do. Simply to come to seek those that need to be saved and to save them if they want to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so his salvation is available to everybody. Anybody that wants it, anybody that desires it, anybody that turns to Jesus Christ, and repents of his or her sin, and turns to Christ and says, Lord, I know that I'm not good enough to be saved. I'm trusting in you and your blood to save my soul. He'll save you if you ask him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to ask the Lord to save you. Amen. I've said this 1,000 times. He doesn't automatically just save everybody. You have got to ask. You have got to want to be saved. Acts 4:12. I know these are common verses. These are verses that probably many of you have already memorized, some of them, but Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not even the Baptist church. It's not the independent Baptist church. It's not any church, it's not any person, it's not any denomination, it's none of that. There's only one name that you can be saved through, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his name. It's him that saves. The pastor, the priest, the pope, sorry, we're just human beings. Not a thing we can do for you except we can point you in that direction. We can preach to you and show you how to be saved. The rest is up to you. And so often we hear people say, well, you know, I just wish God would save so-and-so. Well, God will save so-and-so when so-and-so says, you know what, I need to be saved.
Yeah,
right. Amen.
But so often so-and-so doesn't say that he or she wants to be saved or needs to be saved. They don't think they need to be saved. They're so young, we've got a whole life ahead of us. Yeah, maybe you do have a long time yet. See, us older folks are getting a little closer to heaven all the time. But we're all getting closer to heaven. Every day is another day headed towards death. Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't that great to know? Another day. Where are you going? Well, another day. I'm just heading to death. I'm going to die one of these days. I don't mean to sound so, you know, gory and so. But that's the truth. That is just the truth. We're just getting a day closer to when we're going to meet the Lord. We're getting another day closer to judgment. We're just getting another day closer to either you're going to inhabit and inherit heaven or you're going to inhabit and inherit hell. That's what it comes down to. One or the other.
Amen.
You need to make a choice. God made his choice by sending Jesus Christ. Christ made his choice in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was nailed to the cross. He made his choice. The problem is not with God or the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. The problem is with you. If you're not saved. Acts 16:30. I've said this again before also. If somebody dies without Christ, it is not God's fault. It is not God's fault. You can never stand in front of God at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment, and shake your finger at God and yell at God and complain to God and say that you didn't know, you didn't have an opportunity. Yes, you had an opportunity. It may have been once or it may have been 1,000 times, but you had an opportunity. Acts 16:30-31. This is when Paul and Silas was in prison. There was a great earthquake. The jail was shaken. And in verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the corrections officer, the jailer we call him, is crying out to Paul and Silas and saying, What do I need to do to be saved? And look what Paul says in verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He didn't say, you got to go down to that church in Jerusalem. You got to go down to the church in Philippi. You got to go over to this church. You got to do all these different things. You got to climb on your hands and knees up a tower, you know, or up a mountain. You got to go get baptized. He didn't say any of that. Now the Philippian jailer gets baptized after he trusts Christ. He gets saved. His whole house gets saved and they're all baptized. Praise God. But that's what Paul said. This is what you do. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. This is how you do it. He asked how. He told them how. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5:8. It's through Christ. It's not through anything else. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, who died? Christ died for us. It wasn't the church that died. It wasn't the pastor that died. It wasn't another person that died. It was Christ died for us. In Romans 10:9-13. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Some of the sweetest words in the Bible are those four. Thou shalt be saved. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from the Word of God. You just need to call upon Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the condition of salvation. You know what the condition of salvation is? If. You see that? That if. That's the condition of salvation. See, you got to do it. If thou shalt confess. But that's the condition of salvation. The candidate there is thou. The candidate of salvation is you. If you're not saved. Or if you were saved a long time ago, you were a candidate for salvation. And so the condition of salvation is if. The candidate of salvation is thou. Anybody. The confession of salvation is if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. You don't come to me and confess all your sins. You don't go to the priest or the pope or the pastor or some other person and confess all your sins. You go to Jesus Christ and you simply say, Lord, I know. Boy, Lord, do I know I'm a sinner. And you can tell him all the things you've done bad. He already knows all the things you've done bad. Amen. But you need to confess. The word confess means to say the same thing about your sin that God already knows. That's what it means to confess your sin. Just tell God, God, I am a sinner. You know my heart. Oh, yeah, I know your heart. God, you know my language. Oh, I know your language. God, you know what I do. Oh, I know what you do. Remember, there's nothing you do that God doesn't know about. There's nothing you say with your lips that God doesn't hear. There's nothing that you think about that God doesn't know about. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I've gone against your word. I've gone against you. I've gone against your commandments. I've broken them all. God, I'm a helpless mess. God says, that's what I've been waiting to hear. Because I'm here to help you. I've got the help necessary to help save your soul. And I'll save your soul, Jesus says, if you just confess with your mouth. So we got the condition of salvation, the candidate of salvation, the confession of salvation. And then it says this, that if thou shalt believe. It takes faith to believe. Right? Amen? It takes faith to believe. And so that is the commitment of salvation, is your belief in Jesus Christ. Your belief in the Word of God and in Christ, that He has... that He is who He says He is, Jesus Christ is God, that He can save your soul. That is the commitment that you put together, that belief that you and I put into salvation. So we have the commitment of salvation, which is believe. And then I like this last one, the certainty of salvation. Amen. Shalt be saved. Taint nothing better than that. Amen. You could win the lottery. There's nothing better than knowing that you're saved. Going to heaven when you die. Because if you win the lottery, hey, tithe on it, give to missions. Don't forget the church, but you're going to leave it all behind someday. Somebody else is going to get it. Your kids, you know, somebody else, the government just loves it when nobody else claims it because they get it all. New York State will get it if you die in New York without anybody to give your money over to. You're going to leave it all behind someday. I often think about that. I know that everything's going to be destroyed during the tribulation period, but I often wonder, I says, Lord, can I come back and see what this place is like during the millennial reign? Can we come back here? But it's probably all going to be destroyed anyway. We'll have to rebuild it all anyway. But do you ever think about that? It's all going to be gone. Everything you own is going to be destroyed, completely destroyed and burned up. So often we say that. You see something you like? Oh, I like that house. It'll burn. Boy, I like that car. That's a nice car. It'll burn. Boy, that's a nice four-wheeler. It'll burn. Boy, that's a nice boat. It'll burn. Boy, that's a nice camper. It'll burn. Boy, that's a nice... It'll burn. It's all going to burn up someday. Everything that we have is going to burn up someday. And if you don't get saved, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Jesus Christ, the call to save the world. And finally, the fourth thing is, as I wrote this down, the disciples. A call to witness to the world. A call to witness to the world. Look at John chapter 20, verse 21. John 20:21. We have Noah, a call to rescue the world. Abraham, a call to bless the world. Jesus Christ, a call to save the world. And then finally, the disciples, a call to witness to the world. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, he's talking to the disciples, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Christ was sending his disciples out to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. You know it, Matthew 28. Go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. But we have this great commission. We have this great command to go out and to witness and to tell others about Christ. Mark, chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's every person. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Amen. Every person. One more verse and we're done. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm sorry, Acts 1, 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The disciples had a call to witness to the world, and you and I are no different than the disciples. Matter of fact, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what you are? You're a disciple. You're not an apostle. They were long gone. When the last apostle passed away, there was no other apostles. But we are all considered disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we are to go out, and we are to tell others. We're to take tracts with us. We're to invite people to church. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? I know some of you have just recently, but when's the last time you personally, you yourself, not somebody else, but you yourself, invited somebody to come to church with you? When's the last time you gave the gospel to somebody? When's the last time you even handed a tract to somebody? Think about that. When's the last time you just took a tract out of your pocket or your purse or whatever, out of your vehicle, and gave it to somebody? Probably most of us would say, it's been a few days, maybe it's been a few weeks, a few months. I can't remember the last time I gave out a gospel tract. Shame on us. Shame on you, I should say, because I can remember. I pass them out when I can. But shame on people that just do nothing to try to win out somebody else to Christ. We have that same call that the disciples had. You can't say, well, that was for them 2,000 years ago. That's not for us today. That's for us today.
Amen.
These verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Acts, and throughout the Bible, that is for us today. It's for you and I today. Every Christian is a missionary. Remember that. You're saved today. You are a missionary. You are a missionary where you work, where you shop, wherever it is you go. You are a missionary. What kind of a missionary are you? And so there's these calls that we see throughout the Bible. And we just looked at four today. There's a lot more than that. But we need to think about this as ourselves, personally, for me, for you, that you are a missionary. And I've said this. You're either called to go on a mission trip or a mission field, or you're called to send. God has not called me off to a mission except for this church right here, but God has called me to help send missionaries. That's my responsibility. That's our responsibility, is to help send missionaries that can go to China and to around the world that we see, Germany and Mexico, places that you and I will never, ever see probably in our lifetime. To have part of sending them. There's places on that back wall there of our missionaries that I've never been. I've only been on a couple missionary trips. I've not been to most of those places. And probably some of you, unless you're in the military and traveled all over around the world, you haven't been to some of those either. But it's our job to send those individuals and those families off to the parts of the world that God has called them to.
Amen.
Got a call. We have a call. It's not an audible call you get on your cell phone or you get on your landline. It's a call from God to be a witness, to be a testimony. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the different calls that we see in the Word of God. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Again, if there's somebody here, somebody that is not truly born again, Lord, please, we beg the Holy Spirit to bring conviction one more time to that soul or those